The Word of God said in verse 24 of Matthew chapter number 7, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. I wonder, in your life, have you ever sat under someone that was preaching, or so-called preaching, and about the whole time they were doing it, they were apologizing for what they were saying? I don't believe that if the Word of God is being preached, that we need to apologize, because it's with authority. Not my authority, not the Pope's authority, but with the authority of the God of heaven in the Word of God. Let's pray just a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here with your people. I'm praying tonight, Lord, that you'd just make the service a blessing. And Lord, I know that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Lord, as we spoke to Brother Brian a while ago and reminded him of one of his favorite verses, "Think on these things," Lord, I pray tonight that you'd keep our hearts and our minds in a good place in these days. It's so easy for our hearts and minds to wander off into a place that's not good. I pray, dear Father, that you'd help us tonight to focus our attention on the Word of God and the God of the Word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. What I'd like to talk to you about tonight is when the storm comes. I know that lots of places you could preach from in the Word of God concerning the storms. Acts 27 is one of them. Of course, in the Gospels, Jesus and the storm, he was out there on the sea with the disciples asleep in a boat. But this is what God's put on my heart tonight. Notice what the Bible said. It said the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. I just want to say this tonight. The storms are coming. Either, I think Brother Mays Jackson said years ago, it may or may not have been original with him, he said either the believer just came out of a storm, or they're in a storm, or they're headed for a storm. There are all kinds of different storms that God's people go through. Sometimes it's a physical storm. Sometimes it's a spiritual storm. Sometimes it's an emotional storm. One thing I can't hardly stomach is somebody that makes fun of somebody that's going through emotional turmoil. I remember when Brother Rose called me, said, "Pastor, Barbara's died." The first thing I said to him, Brother Steve, was, "Brother Rose, she's not tormented anymore. For the last year and a half of her life, I'm telling you, she was tormented," amen, "about her salvation." And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, that our emotions are as much a part of us as our finger and our toe, amen, that sometimes we go through storms that way. Sometimes we go through financial storms. It's a known fact that many marriages don't make it because of the financial pressure that people get themselves into. And my wife and I can relate to that. I mean, it would have been a good day if we would have never known what a credit card was till we was 40 years old. Amen. And it would have been a good day. And years ago. I'll tell you this, it's kind of funny. I think it is anyway. I matured a little bit, and we got to where we would use a credit card, but only as a convenience, and we'd pay it off every month, every month. If you couldn't pay it off, you don't put it on the credit card. Well, I was doing real good, Brother Grizzle, and these companies, this has been several years ago, back when CDs, this will give you an idea, was making 7 and 8, 8.5%. Those days are gone. Say amen. Anyway, now they're certificates of depression, they say. Amen. You liked that, didn't you, Brother Steve? But anyway, they kept sending me these things that said, all you got to do is sign it. It'd be a check for $10,000, a check for $15,000. Interest is free for a year. And y'all are going to laugh, but you know what I told them? I told my wife, I said, you know, they've been making money on me for years. I said, why don't we do this? I said, why don't we take this money and go down there at the bank and buy a 9-month CD and let it gain 8%, make the minimum payment on it. You got to make sure you don't miss that payment, amen? Make the minimum payment on it. And we did that. It forced you to save money because you had to make the payment on it. And I did that for 3 or 4 years, Brother Steve. I was eating it up, amen? All of a sudden they quit. I don't know why. But they just cut me off cold turkey. Amen. I'm just telling you that if you live, most of us, let me ask you this. I'm just asking for a show of hands. How many have ever been in a financial storm when you didn't have any idea how in the world that these two ends was going to come together? But I'm telling you, God's interested in that storm too. He'll help a person if they'll look to Him. Amen. And they'll lean on Him. And so the storm's coming. And the Bible talked about here the winds and the floods and the rain, and it came. And I want to look at three things tonight that are really important when the storm comes. This is how God spoke to my heart tonight out of this text. First of all, faith is really important when the storm comes. You see, the Word of God said in verse 24, therefore hear, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. That's what real faith is. Real faith changes a person's behavior. Real faith is not just reading the Word of God. It's not just knowing the Word of God. But real faith is evidenced in doing what the Scripture says. Amen? Well, somebody might say, well, I have faith that God's going to take care of my finances. Well, do you tithe? If you tithe, then you're acting upon what the Word of God said. Do you give to missions? Do you help a neighbor maybe that's in need? That's the almsgiving, where you don't let the right hand know, one hand know what the other hand's doing. Amen? And I'm not saying tonight that we ought to run around with a figure how much we give as a tithe and broadcast that. But no born-again Christian should be ashamed of the fact that they tithe their income. Amen? That's acting on what God has told us in the Word of God. Let me show you some things here that the Lord spoke to my heart about. I believe, Brother Steve, as I studied this, when he says, hear these sayings of mine, you have to go back to Matthew chapter number 5, to the Sermon on the Mount, where he comes right on through teaching these truths. And so tonight, there's several things I want to look at. First, faith concerning our Lord. The Bible said in verse 7, chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I believe that's a picture of what Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse number 6 when he said, I am the way. Not one of them. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's a straight gate. It's talking about faith that points you towards the Lord Jesus. Not one of many ways, but it is the only way to heaven. Now, look at verse 21 down through verse 23. Faith concerning our Lord. The Bible said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. This goes along with what I'm trying to teach tonight. In other words, genuine faith is not just what someone says. It's that looking in the Word of God and the Word of God changing The Bible talked about us, even the Spirit of God changes us from glory to glory, makes us more like the Son of God. So it's not just your mouth, but it's your actions, your obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. There's that word do again. Do. You know, when God talked to Joshua and called Joshua after Moses had died, he said, I want you to observe to do all that is written in the law. In other words, we are not just hearers of the word only, but we're doers of the word of God. And God blesses that and faith concerning our Lord. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. To me, that's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. These are not people that have lived in the drug culture. These are not people that have lived in the house of ill repute. These are not people that's lived in the alcohol culture. These are people, beloved, listen, that have been religious and believe that they're going to leave here and have a home in heaven, but they've got something in their mouth that they don't have in their heart. You say, preacher, I don't know how you can tell the difference. I can. One word, change. When faith is genuine, it will change a person's life. Amen. I believe when we believe right, it will cause us to behave right. That's what the Word of God teaches. Amen. And so the faith concerning our Lord. The second thing, Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. There's faith concerning our Lord, and then faith concerning our living. If you go back to chapter number 5, in the Word of God, Jesus is the Sermon on the Mount. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, you don't see much of that kind of faith in the generation that we live in. Amen. Most of the time, if somebody says something bad about us or persecutes us for on the job or at school, for being a born-again believer and standing upon the Word of God, people kind of get the mully grubs. Jesus said, rejoice. Amen. I believe that's a picture of the disciples in the book of Acts when they beat them. I mean, they rejoiced that they were just found worthy to be beaten for his name's sake. Amen. That's real. It's genuine faith that shows up in a person's living. And then faith concerning our lighting, as what I said, as we alliterate a little bit, look at verse number 5 and verse 13, chapter 5 rather, verse 13. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I believe that Jesus wants you and I that believe the Word of God and do the Word of God, our faith, he wants it to be a light to those that are yet walking in darkness. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, it's a blessing when you can be with somebody. Amen. Maybe they don't feel well. Maybe they're in the deepest of darkest valley, but yet their life is a light. Their conversation is a light. It's a joy to be around them, and I thank God for that tonight. And then there's also faith that's talked about here. Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, there's faith concerning our giving. The Bible said in verse 6, chapter 6, verse 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou givest doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. I thank God tonight that faith will affect us. And when our faith is right concerning our Lord and concerning the way that we live and concerning being a light, concerning the way that we give, I believe God is pleased with that. And he's talking about that man being a wise man and his house is built upon a rock. Yes, the storm's coming, but thank God there's a foundation that stands sure. Then the last thing tonight in this first part of the message, faith concerning our praying. The Word of God said here, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. God is teaching us here about prayer. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. What things you have need of before you ask him. I praise God for that. We ought to pray. And I thank God if we'll just pray that even when we don't even know what we should ask for, the Holy Spirit will take that to the throne of God. Amen. And he knows what we need before we ask. In verse number 9, he said, after this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. You believe he's coming? Amen. You know what the Word of God's teaching us? Not only should we believe he's coming, we ought to pray with John. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And we ought to look for his coming, long for his coming, live for his coming. The Word of God said here, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. If you'd listen to a lot of people teach one message or teach one lesson on prayer, they would convince you that prayer is to get our will done in heaven. No, 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 no. Prayer is to get his will done on earth. Amen. It's not us marching into the throne room of God and commanding him what to do, but beloved, it's yielding ourselves to him, knowing that we don't know what's best, but he does. Amen. Always. He always knows what's best. And forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I appreciate prayer, don't you? I believe, listen, if you're in the right spirit of prayer, verse 14 won't be a problem. For if you forgive men their trespasses. In other words, beloved, you don't always get it right, and I don't either. So I'm going to need someone to forgive me when I don't get it right. Amen. Don't you ever forget that. Don't you think that you always get it right. Amen. None of us always get it right. And when someone else needs to be forgiven, beloved, we ought to forgive them because he forgave us. Amen. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, the Bible said in the book of Ephesians. But the Bible talking about faith, it's concerning how we trust the Lord as our Savior, concerning how we live, concerning how we're alive, concerning how we give, and concerning how we pray. The Word of God said in chapter 7, verse number 1, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. I believe, listen, that when you take a stand with the Word of God against sin, many people will say, well, you're judging. Oh, no, no, no. You're preaching. Say amen. There's a difference between judging and preaching. There's a difference between standing for what's right and judging. Let me give you an example. Beloved, tonight, you can only hear what I'm preaching, but you cannot know for sure why I'm preaching. And so if someone were to sit there in judgment on me and say, well, I know why he's doing that. That's wrong, beloved. Amen. That's very, very wrong. Me to say, well, I know why Steve wants to teach a Sunday school class. I believe I do. He loves Jesus and he loves people. Amen. But what I'm saying is, beloved, you know what I'm talking about. There's people, I know why he wanted to give that. No, you don't. Amen. And we ought to keep it clammed up. Amen. Only God knows the heart. Amen. But when we're preaching against sin, that's not judging. That's just telling others what God has already judged. Amen. You would think in this generation that soon there's going to be nothing wrong with lying. Right? Look at everything else there's nothing wrong with according to this generation. But lying, still lying. Stealing, still stealing. Adultery, still adultery. Amen. All of that stuff that God said in the Word of God was sin. You know, go all the way back to Cain and Abel. Envy, still envy. Jealousy, still jealousy. It's still cruel as the grave. Amen. There's people that will commit murder because they're jealous. Amen. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Sin is. And you're not judging just because you take a stand against sin and with the Savior in the Scripture. But he said, judge not. Why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that's in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye? Behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Jesus, he has a way of speaking very plainly. I believe that's why they said, you don't speak like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You speak as one having authority. Look what he said. Thou hypocrite. That's what he said. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. I appreciate the Lord. He's given us these teachings. Amen. And he says a wise man hears it. But a wise man heeds it. A wise man will shape his life around the truths in the Word of God. In verse 7 of chapter 7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Thank the Lord tonight for faith. When the storm comes, there's three things that are really important. Number one, faith. Number two, family. I've never thought about this before. All I've ever thought about when I read this passage of Scripture, when he talks about the house. And by the way, beloved, there's a difference in a house and a home. If there were many fine homes in Kingsport, as there are fine houses in Kingsport, we'd be having a revival in Kingsport. Because the Lord is teaching, I believe there's, I'll show you why, how the Lord spoke to my heart. The Bible said here, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and it beat upon that house. That house. So, Pastor, that's just talking about a physical house. Maybe the primary interpretation, you're right. Maybe that's why I've looked at it all those years. But let me ask you this. Did Joshua say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Did Joshua say that? When Joshua said that, was he talking about a physical building or a spiritual building? I believe he was too. The Word of God talks about Christ being the head of the man, and the man being the head of the woman, and the children being in subjection to their parents. Is that right? Amen. And so I believe it's not only important, beloved, as Jesus says, that we hear and we do the things that are written, that He has spoken, the sayings that He has spoken. He said, I'll liken him unto a wise man. When we look at that house, I believe not only is our faith important, but I believe our family is important. I believe it's important. I'll say this. There are some here that are parents that are still raising children. Some of them, you know, Brother Steve, Chloe thinks she's already raised. Amen. And I'm sure there's times when she feels like she's raising Brother Steve. Amen. You say, how do you know those things? Four children. Say amen. But let me say this to you tonight. I believe one of the things that's important in that home is that there's unity as far as a mom and a dad looking to this right here for direction. And when you have that, beloved, you can weather the storm. They'll come. The storms will come. The rain will descend. The winds and the flood will beat on that house. But that house can stand. We need faith. It's important. But we need family. I'll say this tonight. I hope God will put this in your heart. I believe we're living in a day. Many have kind of went to the side concerning the church. But let me say this to you tonight. We need this family too. I said we need this family too. The songwriter said it like this. I need the prayers of those I love. And I believe, beloved, listen, that when the wind comes and the waves come, the rain descends and beats upon our house, our faith is important. That's personal. But I tell you something else is important. It's our family. Many people have a great family as far as their immediate family, and thank God for that. Many people, this is all the family they have. It's the family of God. And I tell you tonight, I cannot overemphasize, the storms are coming. They're coming. And we need that faith. We need that personal faith. But we also need, beloved, our family. The last thing I want to give you tonight is this. We need a foundation. The Word of God said, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. I just learned something the other day. Brother Gary Musselman's not here tonight. Brother Jim's in Florida fishing. Is there anybody else here tonight that fishes? Who? Michael? Michael? You fish too, Miss Tammy? Amen. You ever catch anything? I catch a cold. Michael, I was coming down the highway the other day, and this guy, he had a Skeeter bass boat. I believe I'd be conservative, Miss Eve, to say between the boat and the truck, he had to have $125,000, $130,000 easy in that rig. The motor on it, Brother Grizzle, was a 250 horsepower Mercury. I mean, it looked to me like it would take a ship on down the ocean, let alone a bass boat across the lake. But it had something on it that I'd never seen before. I'd never paid any attention to it. Beside the motor, there was a big, long thing. Looked like it was about 4, 5, maybe 6 foot sticking above the boat. Brother Michael, when I don't know, I just ask questions. I was telling my son, by the way, it's good that some of his money is going to end up in this church, ain't it? Say amen right there. He knows what I'm talking about. He sold my son a boat. I was thinking about that when I found out about that. I said, well, praise God. Some of that boy's money is going to end up at Bible Way. Amen. Yeah, you better know it. Amen. Look for it, Brother Gary. Amen. So I called my son, Brother Steve, and he said, Dad, he said, when you're fishing in water 6-8 foot deep, or maybe a little bit shallower, 4-6 foot deep, anyway, they can push a button, Brother Grizzle, and that thing will shoot that thing down into the muck or into the bottom of the lake or the river where you're fishing, and it'll anchor the boat. It just telescopes down, goes down in there. And I said to my son, I just asked a question. I said, son, how come some of them boats got one and some of them got two? He said, well, Dad, if they got two, he said, you can stick them both down. And he said, then the wind or the current will not turn the boat. He said, Pastor, what in the world's that got to do with the foundation? I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe it's one thing to know the Savior. You better have that anchor down or you're not going to heaven. But let me give you this. If you don't know the Scripture, right here's what you're going to look like when the storm comes. Anybody got it? Anybody got it? The wind, that's where a lot of people end up, just in a turmoil. Just in like a tornado, the storm has come. Yes, they know the Savior. But beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. The Bible said, well, to memorize, well, to hide the Word of God in our heart because the storm's coming. Amen. And I believe it's good to be able to meditate. What did the Bible say? Let me see if I can quote some of it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like, here we go again, roots, like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. The Word of God talked about being rooted and grounded in Him. Can I say this tonight? I don't mean to be offensive. It's possible to know Him and yet not be rooted and grounded in Him. Have you ever wondered why in the storm people react so differently sometimes? I believe, listen, many times they've just got that one pin down. They've been saved. They've got that one anchor down right there. I believe the foundation is important. The Bible said we're to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe God wants us to get in His Word, don't you? He doesn't want us to be surprised. He doesn't want us to be like the TV evangelist says, well, if you love God, you wouldn't be going through this. I'm going to tell you something right now. Man that's born of a woman's few days and full of trouble. There ain't no TV evangelist going to change that. The storms are coming. Amen. The storms are coming. But thank God tonight in the storm we can have faith. In the storm we can have our family. And in the storm we can have a foundation that will not waver. I appreciate the Lord. He said when that storm comes, that house is going to stand. Going to stand firm. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. The Word of God spoke then about a foolish man. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. You remember one day the man, he was so blessed in his possessions. He said, I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build greater. God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be? Beloved, tonight we brought nothing in the world. We're not taking anything out. I believe what the hope of every born-again believer ought to be is that we could take somebody, just have an influence, be a light to somebody, and cause them to want to go to the same heaven we're going to. Cause them to want to believe the same Bible we believe. Cause them to want to live a life that's pleasing to God. It came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. I believe that we can live for the Lord. I was thinking about my first cousin. They said that her heart had been in AFib for some time and she didn't want to go to the doctor. They come in, just found her on the floor, 58 years old. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen. The Word of God ought to be something that astonishes you and I. Something that we can hide in our heart, knowing that he's teaching us as one having authority and not as the scribes. It's good to know him tonight, isn't it? Good to live for him tonight, isn't it? It's good to live for him tonight. It's good to love him tonight and realize why we love him. All because he first loved us. Amen. Invite somebody to church Sunday.